Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace in this place. We receive tonight the spirit of wisdom and revelation as touching the essence of discipleship. The eyes of our understanding is enlightened in the knowledge of you, and we come to the full knowledge of the essence of giving ourselves to discipleships and why it's necessary for us to make disciples. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15. We have been staying on why discipleship. And I'm hoping the teachings are helping. They're playing out certain very wrong ideologies, and they're helping us see why we ought to give ourselves to discipleship and to make disciples as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul is writing to Timothy, who happens to be his son, and he's hoping to see him. But just in case he stays longer than usual, in verse 15 he writes, he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, pillar and ground of truth." So Timothy ought to know how he should carry himself, how he ought to behave, the prime and proper way of handling every issue. It means that Timothy is not left to himself to figure out what he has to do or how he has to do what he has to do. There has been already well laid out explanations given by Paul, his teacher, to help him navigate through it all. So we're having a conversation as to why discipleship. We've taken some time, you know, to see how that it's God's nature to have order, and you know how important it is for us to subscribe to God's order. So again, Paul is telling Timothy, you cannot just get up and do what you want to do. You cannot have your own culture. You cannot decide what you have to teach. You cannot decide how to go about things the way they ought to happen. There is a well laid out manner. You know, for those of you, there are standard operating procedures. You remember SOPs, eh? There are standard operating procedures. Everywhere you go in the world, those standards are unchangeable and are unarguable. So he's telling Timothy, these are SOPs, standard operating procedures for your walk with God and your life as a Christian. So the believer's life has a set of standard operating procedures, and he must not seek to do things because he just thinks they are right. No, there are things God wants you to do, and there is a how he wants you to do what he wants you to do. There are standard operating procedures to worship, standard operating procedures to praise, standard operating procedures to your life, standard operating procedures to relationships. Now, to not take heed to them is to be disobedient. Right? So, we're going to continue further on our teaching. Why discipleship? Why should I give myself to discipleship? So we see how that primarily, in fact, I've not started giving you the other minor reasons, other reasons, but there's a major reason, and that's why I've been talking on order, because order precedes, goes before, goes behind, is everything in what we do. So once you're able to understand that exactly, it becomes easy for you to flow with other things that are going to be explained. So God has a will for the earth. There is order in the earth. There's order in relationships. There's even order in our desires and pursuits. There's God's order. It means how God wants it to be placed, how God wants it to go. Right? How God will have his order. His order should affect our culture. It should affect our traditions. It should affect our customs. You know, there are certain times where people say that, as for me, I'm an Ewe. So, as for Ewes, we are like this. No. When you do that, it just means you've not given yourself to discipleship yet. Because we are not saying that your Ewe is bad. What we are saying is that if your Ewe and the beliefs that come with being in that group, right, is contrary to what God's word says, then we cannot accept that. Because one of the things that the believer, or one of the things that happens to the believer, is that God saves him from tribes and tongues. So you can't say that I'm wicked because my father was an Ewe. He was a wicked man. My father is an Ewe, a very, very, very wicked man. So me too, I'm very wicked. If you touch me, I'll massacre you. That's wicked. You see, it's not the Christian's culture to be wicked. You are going to do something. So I say, Ojina Yabeshe, you are going to do something. You see, the believer should not be like that. It's not, you can't tell people, Ojina Yabeshe. It means that you are going to do something. You see, that's not the culture. So when you are in discipleship, right, it teaches you to see that all of these things are not right. You don't think like that. You don't act like that. You don't see like that. You don't behave like that. There's a manner that's proper to the believer. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, tells us clearly how that God wants to have a happening. He wants, the prophet of God, Habakkuk, is telling us that God wants to have something happening on the earth. Then he speaks it, that for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge. Anybody that thinks that Christianity is excitement based is wrong. Christianity is knowledge based, is a knowledge based activity. It's a very high, you know, high knowledge-based activity we have here. So your worship of God will be dependent on how much of Him you know. It's not just that you just get up and you decide to do something. No, the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge. You have to know. You have to know. The earth is going to be filled with the knowledge. It means that men understand the knowledge. Now, the glory of God is simply the Christ. So, the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of Christ. Now, the knowledge of Christ affects our culture, it affects our traditions, it affects our customs, it affects our desires, it affects our relationships, it affects every part of our lives. The earth shall be filled. is not to be fulfilling what God wants to do in the earth today. So, are you able to recognize God? Are you able to discern Him in a place? Are you wise at His word? Are you abreast of what He wants to do? So, it's in discipleship all of these things are given preeminence. You're made into a student. You're taught. Things are explained to you. You teach somebody. So the person you teach also teaches somebody. And then, you know, the culture that we share as believers is passed on. So to say, no, you cannot have a mind on your own. You know, who are you to tell me that I can't have a mind on my own? Even my father doesn't tell me what to do. My mother doesn't tell you, shut up there. Why do they seem to tell me what to do? Maybe my mother quite doesn't tell me what to do. Is your mother more than Jesus? And is your father more than Jesus? Okay, we should just call them ancient of days. Kings of peace, queens of peace. That's what we should call them. So you cannot have a mind on your own. And, you know, oftentimes people mistaken teaching with training. The two are not exactly the same. You see, teaching is more didactic. You explain, you expound. So you explain, you expound. You explain. Questions are asked, you explain. Training, on the other hand, you are taking through the method. And that's why discipleship is so important. So you're taking through the method. Say prayer. Then we give you avenues that can cause you to pray. Say long prayer. Then we set avenues for you to pray long. And Jesus did this so well. You realize that when the crowds are heaped up and have gathered, He just teaches. When it comes to times for prayer, times for in-depth teachings and explanations, He takes the disciples through those. So we cannot despise what He's told us to do. So, number one, God seeks to have order in every part of our lives. Is why we should be given. And I explained to you how that it's His nature to have things done orderly. He seeks to have order in the earth, order in our lives, order in everything. There's that order. There's a way He wants you to go about it. And we must not forsake that. So number two, Jesus called us to make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, why you should give yourself. Why we should make disciples. So, in Matthew chapter 28, actually, one of His very last instructions, it must have meant so much to Him, you know. It must have meant so much to Him. It must have meant so much to Him. That He saves this for the last. Then He tells them in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Then He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples of all nations. We say that the word disciples there is the word matuteo, It means a student, a pupil, one that learns Christ from another. So he's giving his disciples an instruction. What I've done for you, go and do it with other people. Go and do it for others. Make sure others are learning what I taught you. So continue in the chain of what you have received. So it's in discipleship you have teaching. You have the training of the teaching. There is a teaching, then there is a training of the teaching. Sometimes we tell people, pray, 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 and then there are no avenues to get them praying. Steady, 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 there are no avenues to get them studying. Make disciples, there are no avenues to cause them to make disciples. So it becomes difficult. But that's why you should give yourself to discipleship. Because in discipleship are all of these avenues created. So it's important also because Jesus called us to make disciples. And you want to be an obedient son. So it's in discipleship that you will be taught, you will be trained. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46, we see activities, or we're going to look at a few activities of Jesus training in discipleship. So in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46, he says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. So he's teaching them how to tarry and to watch with him. Don't sleep. Stay here and pray. That was a training that he gave them. So when you come and I say that fast, don't eat. Don't say that Pastor doesn't want us to eat. It's because it's a training. There's a difference between teaching on 7 benefits of fasting. And there's also another difference of saying that now everybody is supposed to be fasting. And we say we are all fasting. And we want to fast. And we are going to fast. So Jesus actually takes them on and training. So if you're going to amount so much in your walk with God, it's highly dependent on you giving yourself to discipleship. And you also wanting others to grow is to encourage them to give themselves to discipleship. I met somebody and the person said, the way the person polices her life, she doesn't like it. So, if I'm right, I had to explain to her. I don't know if I explained to her, I just said something passingly about it. But I had to explain to the person that it's not policing. That's how you can become better. See, it's not policing. That's how you can become better. That's how you can amount to what God wants you to amount to. Say, why are they telling us to say thank you for the opportunity? It's so formal. So some way. I was speaking to someone yesterday and she was telling me, I think she's here listening to me. I was speaking to Emily and she was telling me, Pastor, I didn't know that even saying thank you for the opportunity is in the world. She said she wanted an interview and the person was saying that she should say to the person that thank you for the opportunity. And that's what the trainer is training her to do. Oh, wow. Saying, it's too formal. It's too rigid. Can't we have a free system? Right? Many times when people ask for free system, it means there are things that are hidden that they can't expose. Or they don't want other people to know. But if it's transparent, why are you worried about it? Why are they telling us to say thank you? Because the Word of God teaches us to be grateful. grateful. What we are doing is we are getting ungratefulness out of your heart by learning to say thank you. And don't just say it to your pastor. Everywhere. Once you meet somebody who is superior to you, the person gives you an opportunity, say that. It helps. You see, it restores that order of Christ likeness in our lives. Yes. Oh, why are they saying that we should ask questions before we make any decision? Because we want you to be under authority, and being under authority is of the word, and that's God's order. Yes. See, I don't like to kneel down before a man. He's your fellow man. Why should you kneel down before him? Please go silent. Because what you don't have is that you don't have honor. If you knew honor, you would know that kneeling down and prostrating and standing before people is a right thing to do. And it's godly. It's not just cultural. It's godly. I was telling people that no wonder don't like to be cultural, but it happens to turn out that in this case, the culture is good. And it has sort of a relation to Christianity, like Nigerians. You meet someone, you bend down. You meet someone, they even lie down. No one, the power of God in their churches is indescribable. The glory of God is indescribable. The kind of honor that they portray. I'm telling you, the reasons why they see God's power move in tremendous ways. Benny Hinn was sharing a story, and he was in a plane with a couple of Nigerians. Yes, and when they got to know that Benny Hinn was in the plane, that's how the plane turned to consultation and prayer. And he said he had never received gifts unexpectedly like that in a plane before. And because the plane was, there were a lot of Nigerians in there. One person leaves, then another person enters. And they're entering with gifts for prayers. Here is you. Saying that, what's so special about it? You don't know God. If you knew God, when you see a man, you know you've seen God. You have no idea. So you see that people want to have minds on their own. But that's wrong to have. Can't we say anything we want to say? No, because God does not teach you to say anything you want to say. Don't say anything you want to say. Say it the way God wants you to say it. Don't say it the way you want to say it. Say, can I say it like I'm feeling it? Why are you going to say it like you're feeling it? Say it the way God wants you to say it. So, it's important that we give ourselves to it because Jesus called us to make disciples. So, it's in discipleship. There's a training. There's a teaching. There's a training. There's a teaching. There's a training. There's a teaching. I was with a man of God and he came to ask me. He said, man of God, I want to ask you something. He said, what have you been doing to the girls? I said, I don't know. So you girls are very formal, very nice, very humble. Yes, he was asking me. Yeah. I didn't know. See, he was telling me the way they treated, oh my God, man of God, tell me what do you do? That's discipleship. You see, that portrays something that should be so. He said, Mama God, nobody they talk me shit. You talk me to, I will talk you 22. Continue. Just be continuing. That's how your life is going to be somewhere also. Before you realize, it's a police station. Why police? It's a, he has knocked my mouth. Why would he knock your mouth? Why would he knock? You are not strong, number one. If you were strong, it's a different thing. You are not strong, number one. Then you like to talk piercing and releasing piercing words. Why wouldn't he knock your mouth? I'm not talking about your husband. Maybe a guy walking on the street or something. Why wouldn't he knock your mouth? He's not even your husband, but he's on the street. You are talking. So these are some of the things. When God teaches you, it's because he wants you to be like him. And when you become like him, what happens? He takes the glory and he takes the honor. And that's what God wants. He wants you becoming like him. And when you become like him, he's glorified in your life. That's how God is glorified in your character. He's glorified. It's like they're saying, hey, this person is very good. Hey, this person is very good. Yes. So, Jesus has called us to make disciples. I told you that in discipleships, there are going to be teachings, there are going to be trainings. All of them come together to making you what God wants you to be made into. In Luke 9:28, Jesus is taking them for another training. He takes them actually to where is normally known as the Mount of Transfiguration. Then they are doing their things again. And it came to pass after 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. So why did he take them? Because he was teaching them how to pray. Now there are vital details of he not taking the whole 72 or he not taking the 70 and he not taking the 12. But at least this communicates greater responsibility on them. And that responsibility is on us today. So it's in discipleship you will know how to pray. You will know how to study. You will know how to evangelize. I spoke to someone and I said, you know, always go out with this person and then teach the person how to evangelize. There's no way to do it than to go and to practice how it's done. So Jesus takes them out to train them in prayer. Exactly the next chapter, verse 1, 10 verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. He sends them. In verse 17, see what happens in verse 17. In verse 17, after they had been sent, that's the training, they are sent. Taught, then they are sent. Then in verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They had results. They had practiced the very things that Jesus Christ was teaching them. He didn't send the crowd, he sent the 70. Then he now tells them how that, behold, he gives them power to tread over serpents and scorpions, and that they should not rejoice because they are able to cast out devils because their names are written in heaven. You see, they are being made ready and fit for the assignment that God has for them. So it's important because Jesus called us to make disciples. But underneath it is that you are equipped to become all that God wants you to become. That's it. You're equipped. You're made ready. You become that minister that's fit for the master's use. You become that minister that's fit for the master's use. You become that minister that's fit for the master's use. You become fit for the master's use. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7 to 13, I'll take a quick read. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. So again, he's putting them to the act. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in every place, soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from the place. He was teaching them. He was teaching them how to go and preach, how to be selfless in their preaching, how to depend absolutely and totally on him as God. Look what happens. Verse 12 first. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Wow. As you give yourself to discipleship, I see God making you into something very special and something very wonderful and something very glorious. Something you never thought you will become. Something you didn't even dream about. That, hey, me too, I can be called a woman of God or I can be called a man of God. You never thought it will happen to you. But as you give yourself to training, as you give yourself to the word of God, as you listen, as you hear it, what a glory your life becomes. So underneath the fact that Jesus wants us to, it's that we are equipped for the work he has called us to do. And then the next point of why you should give yourself to discipleship is that in that equipping comes spiritual growth. I believe that apart from salvation, the next important thing any man should strongly desire is to grow spiritually. Because it's in spiritual growth you get to know God's word actively. It's when you get to walk in the light of God's word. It's when your character, your life, your thinking, your attitude becomes, you know, the word of God. It's like we can see the word in a person. We can see God's word in a person. We can see God's thoughts in a person. We can see God's attitude in a person. We can see the wisdom of God in a person. We can see God's character in a person. So, number one, it's important because Jesus calls us to. But primarily, God wants to have order. Number two is that, you know, underneath that is that we're equipped. Then we are able to grow spiritually. We're able to grow spiritually. We're able to be taught God's word. We're able to allow the influence of the word on our hearts and act it out in our everyday life. So when you meet somebody, there's nobody, I can promise you, there's nobody who is given to discipleship that will not grow spiritually. It's impossible. It's impossible. Some of you, your ministries are highly dependent on discipleship. I'm telling you, your ministry, what God will do with you, it's highly dependent on discipleship. Yeah. If not, you might never, I'm not saying you will never, but you might never. But don't forget, if Jesus Christ gives us an instruction of doing it, it means that we have to just humble ourselves and do it. So it's via discipleship we can have spiritual growth. The word is taught and practiced. It's taught and practiced. The word is taught and practiced. You see, why are you people letting them send Bible to church? Can't they use their phones? No, we want to be responsible. Allow us to use our Bibles. You see, they are not aimed for comfortability, and the church is not reforming with the world. Your one phone. See how difficult it is to read Bible on the phone. The same Bible. Before you are reading something, you are already on WhatsApp replying a message, already on Facebook reading something, already on Instagram, already on Snapchat. One phone. Why don't you get a Bible that allows you concentrate on God's word, and that allows you write, and that allows you see it for yourself. You hold it. Quiet time, you flipped off into WhatsApp, Kum, Snapchat like 3 times during the quiet time. Flip, flip, flip. And sometimes you want to just clear your conscience, so you just God understands. Flip, flip, flip. Quickly, you come back to your Bible again. So it's in discipleship you can have all of these attitudes, these disciplines imprinted in you. Our next reason is that it strengthens your relationship with God and others. So as you grow spiritually, strengthens your relationship with God and with others. You know, it can be tempting to do life alone. But that was never God's intention. Yeah? We are a body. Each member is needed for us to function properly. You cannot do it on your own. I can promise you, you can't do it on your own. We're supposed to stay together. Each member is needed for us to be effective. And what happens is that we hurt ourselves by not being part of the community. He gets us for us. We hurt ourselves. There's a saying that says that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Go together. Don't go alone. You want to go fast, just go alone. But you want to go farther, go together. Together. Together in the study of the word. Together in the praying. Together in relationships that we share. So it's going to strengthen your relationship with God and with others. And there is a community God sets for that. That's why I love the same community song. Right? Oh, how beautiful it is when we dwell in love. And God's spirit freely moving in this community. Then he says, right here. You have planted me right here. And what's happening? We're flourishing. We're increasing right here. Then he says, through the gifts of men. Then together we can fulfill your plan. So we say, sister this. Oh, you didn't come to church. Don't say that. Hey, why are you asking me? Are you God? I've already spoken to God. No, you don't speak to God when you don't come to church. You don't speak to God when we don't find you in meetings. You don't speak to God when... No, you speak to your brother while you speak to him. If not, you are in trouble. So don't ask me how that I've already spoken to God about it. You've already spoken to God about it. No. No. Say, God is my father. God is my father. Nobody else can talk to me. I've already spoken to God. Say, it's like when we look at you, you're not really fine. Huh? Say, no, I'm fine. I've spoken to God already. Say, there's this friend, he's not really good. We know he's not a good person, so we want to tell you that be careful and not, you know, get close. Oh, but God created all of us. Why would you have to speak about my brother in the world like this? We are all the creations of God. We all are God's creation. It's because of some of these foolish talk. That's why people fall into very unnecessary things. Are you saying that now I can't relate to anybody that is not in Christ? No, relate. Go ahead. You are doing well. In fact, you are doing good. We give you a thumbs up. Continue. It will end well with you. It will end well. You're doing so well. And that's what you want me to say now. That's why I'm saying it for you. You're doing so well. Pastor. I don't know. Pastor. I didn't want to say what I had, what I had inspiration to say, so I'll keep it in my heart. Maybe another teaching, I would release it. But you see, don't forget that we're His body. He's put us in a community, and He wants us to grow in that community. So I want us all cherishing that. Cherishing. He puts you, He plants you somewhere. Is Grace Gagara here? So He plants us in a community. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to grow. He wants us to prosper in this community. Okay. So you strengthen your relationship with God and others. You strengthen your relationship with God and with others. So don't forget that God puts you in discipleship for this. The next important reason why discipleship is that it keeps you accountable. Yeah. Where did you go? What are you doing? What is happening? Say, hey, why? They are trying to mark my life. They are trying to mark my life. I've seen people who feel like, nah, you are, don't mark my life. Don't tell me what to do. But that's why God puts this relationship there. And see you with somebody and I say, who is that? We want to know. Tell us. We want to know. You see, I was thinking about something, and I said, you know, this Judas could have been very safe if he shared one or two, a lot of, with Peter, James, and John. He could have been very safe. Like, maybe when he goes to meet the Pharisees and other unbelievers, just say, Charlie, Peter, you know something? I don't really know if what I'm doing is really right. But today, these Pharisees, they met me and they, do you know 30 pieces of silver? Yeah? They said they'll give me 30 pieces of silver. And honestly, it's like my heart is moving in the 30 pieces of silver. Yeah, my heart is moving in that direction. You know, Peter is that headstrong guy. He doesn't take nonsense. He doesn't hide anything. You should say, Peter would have maybe insulted him because Peter was loud. And it's true, he was loud because normally those on the fisher, those who are fishermen, are loud. The sea is very boisterous when they go on the sea. Something small they have to say to just the next person, they scream it out. So don't tell your secret to a fisherman, because when he's telling you something, you will say it, everybody will hear. Yeah. So they are loud. When you meet a fisherman is loud. I went somewhere and I was like, can't this guy talk? We are just talking. We are not fighting. The guy was talking loud. I was like, can't he reduce his voice? Yeah. So when we're in Takoradi, the men of God who wanted to be men of God, they pray at the sea. Yes, because they feel like the sea will make your voice very heavy. So is that people go to the sea to go Mpuano? They go to the sea to go and pray. And be there praying. And it's true, when they come back to you, see that the voice has become more heavy. So they can lead prayer and you feel that the anointing is in the voice. Ah. So you see that some of these experiences, quite interesting. Yeah. It keeps you accountable. You become vulnerable. You're able to say, oh, please, I did this, I did that, I did that. You say, no, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done, you should have done it like this. Yes, please, sir. We're changing it to this. Accountability. So Judas should have told maybe Peter. He would have screamed, hey, you saw what? 30 pieces of silver, Jesus. So Jesus would have maybe heard or something. John, he would have snitched. John is not somebody who would be loud, but because he is a lover of Jesus, he would have snitched. Like, he would have said, Jesus. Yeah. They would have told Jesus. Not that Jesus didn't know, but they also knowing would have influenced Judas to think about it again. Judas, be careful, oh, be careful, be careful. But he will not see anybody. He will not give account to anybody. He's creeping in the dark. He's doing his own things. Then the trouble now happens. Then he's caught up and he's dead. Yeah. Oh. There are many young girls who were deceived innocently, if they had a shepherd to get to them and somebody to say, what is going on in your life? What is happening? That's what Jesus calls them. He calls them pastors. He calls them shepherds. He calls them disciples. So imagine if you had a disciple who said, what's happening with this guy? Say, oh, pastor. Oh, say, he just sent me that he loves me. He loves you. We know when he says he loves you, we know what he's saying. But you don't know. You think that it's just love. I was speaking to a certain disciple, and the person was telling, oh, this person does this. I said, no, you have to be careful. Watch it. Don't be very enthused about it. Yeah, be careful. So some people are deceived innocently. They didn't know that you had wicked intentions. They wouldn't have fallen into it. But they didn't know. Very innocent. They don't even know. They're very innocent. I mean, sometimes they are not innocent, but they are innocent. Sometimes they are deceived. Yes, and they're lied to. Yeah. But when you are accountable, you see someone and say, no, this person is not praying. How's your prayer life like? So, oh, pastor, honestly, now I've not been able to pray. Okay, now let's pray this, pray. Now stick to this, do this, do that. You see that your walk with God becomes better. So nobody's trying to police your destiny or police. No, we just wanted to work well for you. We wanted to turn out well for you. And now we handle it so because Jesus handles it so. He handles it so. He traveled with them. He moved into cities with them. He advised them. He counseled them. He prayed for them. In fact, I can imagine him saying to people that the enemy has sought to sift you as wheat, but I pray for you. I prayed for you. So you will not be sifted. Yeah, you will not be sifted. So discipleship comes with these benefits. Why? You'll be amazed to know that God extends a certain kind of grace and favor because you are given to discipleship. That's what happens. That's what happens. Some of you would have thought prophesying and seeing and knowing was very far away from you. But today you are doing it. It looked very far away from you. You see, there's a grace that's extended. Yeah. Thought it was very far away. But you see, today does it. Does it. That's it. Some of you never thought you could stand somewhere and preach, stand somewhere and lead somebody and tell somebody, let's go, we are going to pray. But look at you, today you are doing it. That's God's intention in discipleship. So, you're going to cherish it. Love it. Don't resist it. Don't despise it. Don't look down on it. Embrace it as God's help to you. Enjoy it. Love to be told God's word and love to be taught. Love to be rebuked. Love to be corrected. Love to be prayed over. That's how God does it. That's how God will have us do it. And so we're going to stick to it. Everyone. In one accord. Given. Totally. Holy. It's not loathsome. You only make it loathsome. And many times when you make it loathsome, when you fight it, you're fighting God and His method to reach out to you and help you. I told you a number of times when people come to me and they say, oh, I really like, I just tell them, just follow. Just be a disciple, just follow. And I'm not wrong when I tell you to follow, because Jesus did the same thing to His disciples. He told them, follow me. Ah, to where? To where? I mean, how can you just miss out and say, follow me, and then they are following you? To where? At least we should ask to where, but there was no asking, just follow. And as you follow, you are being made into what God wants to have you into. So there's great grace for you in discipleship. You're going to be given to it. And you're going to give yourself fully. You're not just giving halfly, because it means you'll be made halfly. You take your pastor's words seriously. You do what he wants you to do. The word of God taught you, you do it. We say, be full of joy. That's discipleship also. And I say, pastor doesn't know what is wrong with me. That's why. Oh, he doesn't know what is wrong. If he knew what was wrong with me, he would not tell me that the word of God says we should rejoice. You see, and for everything you fight that is of God, there's a consequence. So if God says, teaches you through your pastor, or God's word says this, you do it the same. Say, don't worry. Say, oh no, it's for me to worry. Why shouldn't I worry? No, don't worry. That's what God's word says. You see that many people are making their hearts fail and their blood pressures rise. And God does not want anybody's heart failing or blood pressure rising because of worry. So he tells you, do not worry. Don't think about tomorrow. And you say, the word of God has taught me that I shouldn't. Don't say that they don't know what I'm going through. No, when you talk like that, you are not allowing yourself. Show forth that character God wants you to in your hard times. So you're going to give yourself to discipleship. You're going to give yourself to training. Because God wants to have us have this order. And it's in then you'll be adhering to the instructions of Jesus that tells us to go and make disciples. And underneath of that, you are further equipped for God's plan and purpose to be that man God wants you to become and to make others so. It's also via discipleship you can have true spiritual growth. And I said, apart from salvation, it's important that we endeavor to grow spiritually. It matters, it counts. That's what influences our faith. That's what influences our faith. It influences the practice of our faith. It influences our faith. It influences our walk with God. We also said that it strengthens our relationship with God and others. You have a better relationship with God. And you're taught to grow, thrive in a community. You're taught to flow amongst the brethren. When we close, don't go home. No. There's a community set for you. When something is bothering you, call a brother. Say, brother, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Say, can we have a flow service tonight? Can you minister to me? And you start to minister. Say, oh, sister, I woke up with this pain. I just had a leading to call you to pray for me. And then you pray. There's a community of help for you that Jesus has set for your growth. And you will also learn to be accountable. It means your life is going to be helped in areas where it's lacking. All of these and many more, which I believe I will continue as the Lord lays a leading on me to retouch or continue from where I stopped in the series. But there are many more important reasons why we should be given to discipleship. Yet for now, I have a leading to speak to you about these important reasons why discipleship. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. Thank you for understanding. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're practicing what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So this brings us to the close of the series, Why Discipleship. I'm sure I'll continue this, maybe part two, maybe a couple of months up ahead of us. We'll throw out some emphasis, and then we can have that happening. Amen. Right, God bless you. So right after this, for those of you who don't have the song, we'll get it and then we'll share it on the hub page, and then you listen to it and thank God for bringing you into this. I'm telling you, you have no idea what a blessing this is. Yeah, you have no idea. We're going to share it, and you thank God for such gifts. The gift of the community that we share. The gift of the ministry that we have. To Lord, we're thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.